word and moment of our witness. Father, as always, we pray that you make us one. Pulpit pew, that the world will know that you sent your son, Christ. Lord, have your way in this place through your word. We pray as the rain descends and the snow falls from heaven, watereth the earth to give bread to the eater and seed to the sower. So shall your word go out from you and will not return unto you void. We pray that you cancel out every stratagem and scheme of the enemy, that nothing will hinder you. Hinder your work, hinder your word in us and through us for your glory. Now, Father, as I stand, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart will be acceptable in thy sight. Lord, you are my strength and you are my redeemer. Take control of my mind and guide it. So as with my tongue, Father, that what I speak will be pleasing to you and edifying to your people. Thank you, Lord, for what has transpired already. And we give you praise in advance for what you are about to do. We ask, as always, that you forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from unrighteousness, that we will be fit vessels to be used by you. Confront us, challenge us to change. Give us a spirit of revival as we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, bless the goodness of the Lord. Come on, come on, come on. What an awesome day it is to be alive, alert, and active. For it is in the Lord Jesus the Christ we live, move, and have our being. He has navigated our niches and allowed us the privilege of being participatory in this place of praise one more time. And I don't know about you, but I'm glad about it. I'm glad about it. So many other places I could have been, but the Lord has given me grace, has given you grace, has met you this morning with mercy. And God is wonderful. God is awesome. Amen. If we had 10,000 tongues, we couldn't praise him enough. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory to his name. 1 Peter chapter 1. Thank God for all of you who are present. Thanking God for the preacher, the person of Reverend McCoy. Thank God for the trustees and deacons who have devoted us, deacons who have served you, and you're coming in with the communion couplets. Thank God for this melodious singing praise team and musicians. Thank God for the environmental safety team. Thank God for everybody. Amen. It's good for us to be here. I'm just happy to be in the house of the Lord one more time. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 1. Beginning with verse 3, if you have it, say amen. All right, if you don't have it, say wait. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptation, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Look at somebody and say, lively hope. Look at another and say, lively hope. Amen. That's what I want to talk about. Lively hope. I'm preaching this because we are plagued by a period of pain and peril. For as Jesus said in Matthew 24, we're dealing with perilous times. We thought we had almost gotten through this. To our surprise and disdain, that other strands, variants, have surfaced. But I want to encourage you to take your praise off pause and give God praise in the midst of your period plagued by pandemic and peril. God is God. God will always be who he has always been. Thanks be to God that he gives us what's necessary, what's needful to make it through our period plagued by peril, pain, and pandemic. He gives us hope. You can live without a lot of things. You can go a few days without water, a few weeks without food. But I'm under the conviction that you can't go a day without hope. He gives us hope. Hope is confident expectation for what God has promised. Hope is firm assurance regarding things that are unclear and unknown. The Lord gives us hope that enables us to see beyond and go beyond our present predicament. Paul said to the church at Rome, we don't hope for what we see, nor do we hope for what we have. Our hope is in the unseen. Do I have a witness? Because our hope gives us the ability to wait on what God has promised. Right in the midst of this pandemic, God's promise of eternal life, his promise of abundant life, is still good. Our hope gives us the ability to see beyond and go beyond our present predicament. It is Peter who wrote this letter to the church at Rome, awoke from Rome during a time of callous persecution. The early church suffered because of their faith in Christ Jesus. And Peter wrote to encourage the Christians in what they were suffering, but also wrote to inform them of the greater trials that were awaiting them. In other words, they were already in trouble. But he says to them that troubles are yet to come. Don't you be surprised, shocked and shaken, stunned when fiery trials come. By faith, he says, rejoice in the midst of your trials. By faith, rejoice while you are going through. Rejoice while you are dealing with the pain. Rejoice while things are crazy and confusing in your life. Rejoice while you are awaiting the glory of God to be revealed. He says, rejoice in the Lord by faith and by your hope, because you see yourself coming out of this. So you don't have to keep your praise on pause. In the midst of a pandemic, you can go on and take it off pause and praise God now for the blessings that He has in store for you, because God is going to see you through this. This thing is not going to get the best of you. You're going to get the best of it. I need you to work that in your spirit this morning. Look at somebody if you can and tell them, this thing is not going to get the best of you. You're going to get the best of it. Peter says, don't be surprised when trouble and pain comes your way. Now, he says when, not if. Because it's not a question of if, it's when. Listen, if you are not in trouble, that means that you have already come out or you are headed into trouble. It's not a question of if you're going to deal with some troubles. You are going to deal with some troubles in this life. It's when. So knowing that there's a when coming, you need to suit up. You need to prepare yourself for the troubles. You don't take your downtime. Don't take your times of peace and your times of quietness for granted. You need to be preparing yourself for what's lying ahead. He says, when trials come. It means every day won't be like today. Every day won't be like yesterday. Every day won't be a day of ease.
That's right. That's right.
A day of comfort. There will be some troubles. He says, when troubles and pain come your way. He admits the Christian is not exempt. He admits that tough times come to the saved of God. He admits that children of God struggle. And he declares that God's people suffer in this life. It doesn't matter how much you shout on Sunday. It doesn't matter how much you pick up your Bible during the week. You will suffer. It doesn't matter how charitable you are and how faithful you are to giving to the church. You will suffer. It doesn't matter how kind and nice you are. You will suffer. You will have some times of trouble. He says, when? I wish I had a praying church. When trouble and pain come your way. Notice Peter in verse 6. He says, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptation. He uses the word manifold temptation to describe the things we suffer. Manifold temptation simply means diverse or various kinds of evil experiences. In other words, we experience sadness caused by harsh conditions, different misfortunes in life, and satanic attack. He says that we go through, we greatly rejoice while we go through what Satan is trying to do to us. James, the brother of our Christ, he chimes in this message and he says to us in James chapter 1, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation. David chimes in and divulges the truth when he said, many are the afflictions of the righteous. But I thank God for that holy but. I thank God. That's a sanctified but. He said, but the Lord will deliver us from them all. Hallelujah. He says, we go through as Christians. We are afflicted in this life. We face trouble. But there's good news in the text. He says, our troubles have an expiration date. He says, it's only for a season. Look at somebody and tell them it's a season. It's a season. It's only for a season. The duration of your trouble is short, small, and only for a little while. It's only for a season. Come on, look at somebody else again and tell them it's only for a season. This pandemic is only for a season. It's not a lifetime. It's only for a season. Season. Whatever you're going through is only for a season. I'm trying to help you now. It's for a season. Three things Peter reveals to us in the text that will help us see beyond our momentary miseries. First of all, he reveals to us who we are. And listen, when you're in trouble, you need to know who you are.
That's right.
You need to know who you belong to.
That's right.
He says, we are the people of God through Christ. So we are God's people. We belong to God through Christ. We belong to God by our faith in Jesus' vicarious crucifixion, voluntary death, and victorious resurrection. Peter said in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Christ Jesus from the dead. There are three things he says as a people of God. You need to praise God.
That's right. Amen.
See, this blessed be the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The word blessed is a doxology, a short hymn of praise. Peter said the people of God should praise the Lord because they have been saved by his compassion and tender mercy.
Right.
Now, you think your troubles are heavy now. But can you imagine your troubles without Jesus?
That's right.
You think you're going through something now. Can you imagine living life, going through what you're going through, and dying, going to hell?
That's right.
Peter says that we owe him praise because although we're in the midst of a pandemic, we're in the midst of a painful period. He says we owe him praise because we are saved.
That's right.
We belong to God. I belong to God. I got salvation. That's why the psalmist said in Psalm 107 verses 1 and 2, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. For his mercy endures. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. We praise God. Don't wait until things get better. Praise him now. You got to praise him like you know you're coming out of this. You got to praise him like he has already turned it around. Like he has already worked it out. I mean, you got to praise him. Like God has already made a way. Because God is making a way every day. Every day things are, he's drawing us closer to that day of deliverance. It's called due time. If you hang on to due time. But while you hang on, you need to praise him. He says we praise God as the people of God. But then notice, he not only said we praise God as the people of God. He says, but we have a principle that we live by as the people of God. He says he has begotten us again. The word begotten means begotten anew, which metaphorically speaks of thoroughly changing the mind of a person so that he lives a new life that's conformed to the will of God. The mind of the saved is to be transformed by the renewing of the mind. It's a constant and continual process that God renews the mind. He sheds the old and he brings in new. He takes that old way of thinking and he replaces it with a new way of thinking. This takes place in the spirit of the mind. As we come to know Jesus better and more every day, our minds are renewed by the knowledge that we have of him. The problem is people don't have much knowledge. And you can't wait until you get to. You need to prepare before you get to. We don't have enough knowledge. That's why we are running from here to there. That's why we are ill in our response to God. Because we don't have much knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't you know Jesus is still Jesus? The pandemic has not changed Jesus. Our painful periods do not change Jesus. Jesus is Jesus. Matter of fact, the text, Hebrews says that he's the same yesterday, today, and for evermore. The problem is we don't have knowledge of who he is. We don't have knowledge of his ability, his authority, his availability. And we see it in the fact that we're not responding to him like we used to. He says, there's a principle. He says, what God is doing through your troubles is giving you more knowledge of him if you're paying attention. He's taking out some old stuff and he's putting in new. I told you at the start of the year that one thing I developed is pandemic faith. Because prior to pandemic, I'd never been in a pandemic before. And I thank God that he has allowed me to develop pandemic faith through the experience of pandemic. It's a principle now. Now I know him in a pandemic. You know that song, Yes, I Know Him. And if you know him, you ought to live like you know him. You ought to talk like you know him. You ought to shout like you know him. And then they say, yes, I know him. Y'all remember that old song? So now that you know him in the midst of this pandemic, you have to live your life accordingly, because what you know becomes the principle that governs and guides you. That's right. It is Peter who says he has begotten us again. That's right. Which means he has renewed or made anew. Yeah. But not only is there praise and principle, but there's possession of God's people. Peter says, we are begotten again unto a lively hope. We have a lively hope. The reason our hope is alive is because our Savior is alive. Hallelujah. Yeah, we don't serve a dead Savior. Praise be to God. Listen, you go to that grave where he was buried. That grave is empty, or it may be occupied by some other body, but it's not the body of Jesus, because Sunday morning he got up out of the grave. We don't serve a dead Savior. We serve a living Savior. And because we have a living Savior, we have lively hope. It is a hope that helps us to see beyond the now. And gives us energy to press on forward. And plow on to see what the end will be. Hope! My hope is not in this cure. My hope is not in the president. My hope is not in the government. My hope is not in the church. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and his righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly leaning to Jesus' name, on Christ. Somebody ought to shout it with me. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All of the ground is sinking sand. We have a promised possession. There's a principle. There's a praise because we are the people. But then notice that there's a promised possession for the people of God. He says, begotten unto an inheritance. 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 For someone to receive an inheritance, somebody has to die. And I just told you Jesus died. He died as the testator, and he got up as the testator to make sure we receive the inheritance. He says that we have an inheritance. And this inheritance is not of the material nature. It is not monetary. This inheritance is a new body that he's going to give us. In Romans 8 verse 23, he says, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to wit the redemption of our body. And we desire a new body, the newness. Because of the suffering of this present world. And he says, the suffering that we are going through is not even worthy to be compared with the future glory we shall receive in us, which shall be revealed in us. He takes these old corrupt bodies, bury the body. And he raises this corrupt body incorruptible. Where there will be no decay, no decomposing. There will be nothing corrupt about us. We have to lose the human sentimentalities, because the human sentimentalities are so engulfed by earthly desires. He says we give up these corrupt bodies. And he gives us incorrupt. And then he attaches to it, the bodies we will receive will be undefiled. It'll be pure. There will be nothing defiled that will enter heaven. So he's going to change us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And he gives a duration. He says, our inheritance fades not away. It's perpetual. It is everlasting. The Bible says the grass wither, the flower fades. But there are no withering grass, and there's no fading flowers in heaven. Thank you, Jesus. I think I'll say that again. There is no withering grass, and there is no fading flower in heaven. In other words, he gives us the perspective of being preserved by the power of the Lord. He said in verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Hallelujah. Glory to God that I am kept by the power of God. The word kept means that God watches over me. The word kept means that God is my God. That God has a protective parameter. He protects me day in and day out. Let me tell you what that means. It means that when you woke up this morning, God had a protective perimeter around you. When you went to your bed, from your bedroom to your bathroom, God had a protective perimeter around you. When you went from your bathroom to your closet, he had a protective perimeter around you. When you went from your closet to your breakfast table, he had a protective perimeter around you. When you went from your breakfast table to your car, he had a protective perimeter. When you got in your car and drove to the house of God, he had a protective perimeter around you. It means that God is keeping you. I wish we were in the pandemic. If we weren't in the pandemic, I would tell you to high five your neighbor and tell your neighbor that God is keeping you. I want to ask you my question early in my close. Ain't he all right for keeping you? All day and all night he's keeping you. Ain't God all right? He's keeping you from harm. He's keeping you from sickness and disease. He's keeping you from troubles. He's keeping you right in the midst of your pain. The Lord is keeping you. Listen, I want to leave you by telling you he's keeping you by his power. His power. He has all power in his hands. Ain't God all right? The same hand that he gave to the cross. The same hands he fed the 5,000. The same hands he healed the sick. The same hands he raised the dead. The same hand that he got up and raised Sunday morning. He got power in his hands. Ain't he alright? And if you are in his hands and he got power in his hands, the power in his hands will keep you. Thank God for Jesus. As I leave you, I want to tell you, you ought to rejoice. You need to take your praise off pause and give God the glory he deserves right now. Don't wait until the pandemic is over. You need to give him praise right now, because God is good right now. You ought to look at somebody and tell him, I'm not going to wait, because God is good to me right now. I may have pain in my body.
but he's good to me right now. I may be in a pandemic, but he's good to me right now. It may be trouble all around, but he's good to me right now. May not know my left from my right, but he's good to me right now. You ought to give him a right now praise. Let me ask you my question one more time. That'll give you a jump start on your praise. Ain't the Lord alright? If you know he's alright, you ought to stand up on your feet and roll your head back and say, thank you, Jesus, for where you brought me from. Thank you, Jesus, for where you're carrying me to. And I just want to take some time to tell you, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. 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 I'm going to take it off pause. I'm going to take it off pause. Because I'm not going to wait until he deliver me out of it. I'm going to praise him right in the midst of it. Ain't he all right? If you know he's all right, won't you put your hands together? Won't you open your mouth and tell the Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, thank you. The doors. Glory to his name. The doors. Hey. Hey, hey, my soul is happy. I feel like running. Nobody behind me. Feel like laughing. It ain't nothing funny. Feel like crying. It ain't nothing wrong with me. Can I ask you my question one more time? Ain't he all right? Let me hear you say, yeah! The doors. Of the Lord's house stands ajar. If you're here and you're not saved, come, give the Lord your life. By simply believing in your heart, confessing the Lord Jesus Christ with your mouth, believing that Jesus died, he was buried, God raised him from the dead. The Bible says thou shalt be saved if you believe that in your heart and confess him with your mouth. Secondly, if you're here and you're backslidden, come, the Lord will restore you. Yes, he will. Thirdly, if you're here in need of a church home, and the Lord has laid New Bethlehem Baptist Church on your heart and in your spirit, come on. Come on, be a part of our family. We're not a perfect people, but we are striving for perfection. Every day he's making us better. Come. Come. You can grow with us and we can grow with you. Come. Come on. Come on. Come on. The doors. The doors. The doors.
And I know that it's
listen, listen, listen. Listen to the Lord. Speak through song. Come on. Come on. The doors. The door.
There are sweet expressions on each face.
Hallelujah.
And I know that it's the presence.
Listen. The doors open. Come on, come on.
Sweet Holy Spirit.
Come on, come on.
Sweet Heavenly Love.
Thank you, Lord, for today. For this time of family fellowship. Lord, we too, by way of spirit, sit in the upper room with you in the 12. Lord, we thank you for your message of what you have done for us in dying in our place for our good. We take this moment to remember your sacrifice. We take this moment to show forth our reception that we have received the sacrificial work of Christ to be saved. Father, as always, we ask you, forgive us of our sins. Change our thoughts, Lord, that our eating and drinking will not bring damnation to us, but it will be for your honor, your glory, Lord, in our remembrance and good. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Everyone has a couplet. If you don't have a couplet, please raise your hand. We need one here. Please raise your hand. Come on, give me a little bit more of that spirit. Come on, if you need one, raise your hand.
There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place.
Broken body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Take, eat, and remembrance of him. Shed blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Take, drink. I ask that you be seated for a moment as we charge and give Bible and certificates to our candidates. I want you all to remain standing, those of you who were baptized. It's already given. All right. Listen, I want to charge you in the presence of God and in the company of these people that you stay connected, that you stay in church with your family of faith. I want you to give yourself to prayer and reading of His Word. Start simple. Gospels. And receive the message of Jesus' coming, the message of His earthly ministry, and the message of His sacrificial work on Calvary, His burial, and His resurrection and His ascension. I want you to study the Word of God to know that He's coming back for a church without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. That means that He's taking His Word and He's washing you daily to prepare you for His return. We want you to be workers in the church. I want you to go out from this place and share your faith. Share the Word of God with other people so they too can receive Christ as you have received Christ. Listen, it doesn't have to happen in a sanctuary. Matter of fact, these have come right out there in the parking lot on last week. It's when you take the Word with you and you share that Word, God will anoint that Word to pierce the heart of the lost and draw them to Christ. I want to charge you to do that. You all have already received your Bibles. Have they already received their certificates? Amen. Thank God. Come on. Bless God for these here. Bless you today. Bless you today. Bless you today. Everyone now stand if you will. Everyone stand if you will. May the grace of God and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide with us now, henceforth, and forever. We pray, Father, that you be with us, lead and guide us from this place. And as you did for Moses, when he met in your presence and saw the hinder part of your glory, you caused his face to shine. We pray that our life be light in a dark world, that as we go hither and thither, others will know that you are God. And you are glorious. In Jesus' name. Amen. Revival, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, starting at 7. You don't want to go to heaven without hearing the preacher. Come in prayer. Come prepared to be revived.